This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we have a big show planned for you today because we have just finished watching the 76ers get their butts handed to them by the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, it was a hell of a game. I don't want to be disrespectful to the 76ers, but the truth is the Hawks won, and it was a shocking win for so many people. I think the idea that it happened in Philadelphia, you know, at the Sixers, you know, home court, and they were booed off their court says quite a bit. This is something I have been saying for quite a while now. I had been saying that the whole process phase of the Sixers was a failure. A lot of people asked me, like, how the fuck can you say something like that when, you know, they're the best team in the East and stuff? But it was apparent to me that they had more problems than they had solutions, and they needed to figure out a way to do a mini blow up if they were going to actually be legit contenders. This is, you know, you get to the point where you're not even in the conference finals, you have to make changes. And what we're here to talk about is, do we have the solution to their problem? They have a big problem, and a lot of people, especially all those fools on the TNT NBA show, I mean, they were just sitting there dumping on Ben Simmons, saying that he was the problem, and really it was the fact that he wasn't a consistent shooter and they couldn't count on him at the end of the game. We have a point guard now in Kemba Walker, who is a very good shooter and has been reliable at the end of the games. And it really got us down a path of trying to figure out, could Kemba Walker be traded for Ben Simmons? Would that be possible? And would that be something that the Sixers would see as a solution to their problems?
Before we get started with that, Mark, I want to say happy Father's Day to all those guys out there that are celebrating a Father's Day. Watching the 76ers game, I couldn't help but remember the first time that I watched the 76ers live with my brother Mark, me, my dad, and my brother Rob. We were pretty young at the time. Our brother John, I don't remember if he was there, and if he was there, sorry, John, I'm leaving you out there. But the reality is that we had a great memory watching that game live that we watched. It was against the New York Knicks, and if my memory serves me right, I want to say Charles Barkley was playing in that game because Dad kept on talking about how amazing that guy was. Anyways, just a fun story because on Father's Day, you know, so many years later, I still remember that as being something that was pretty awesome. Whether it was the late 80s or early 90s, it was just a lot of fun to be able to have a dad that took us to sports events, especially all around the country like he did. So, you know, getting back to what Mark was saying, I do think that there has to be a fit here. At first, I said no or hell no with a lot of hesitation to Mark when he was the one that brought this trade up, because I immediately was like, man, I just think Ben Simmons has had a bad hand here. But the more I watched what Shaq and what Charles Barkley and what Kenny and you know, everybody else was talking on the show, they were just basically saying he is broken. He needs to be fixed, and Philly can't do it for him. He needs to go do that someplace else. And that's essentially what they kept on going back over and over and over again. And essentially, what is that doing, Mark? That is driving down the value of Ben Simmons big time. He could bottom out the value. These guys could bottom out the value almost completely. Yes, everybody's always going to say he's 24 years old, but who's going to be willing to go out there and give a top 15 point guard who's ready to go, that has playoff experience, that's, you know, mature and ready to run a team? Who's going to give a player like that at this stage in the game, Mark? We went through this. There was only three point guards that we could come up with that would be like, okay, we could see a move like this happening. First of all, was Luka. If he's truly unhappy in Dallas, he's got to go somewhere. Second player was Damian Lillard. That's somebody Mark brought up, and I really agree with him here, is that Damian Lillard says, I want out. Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard is a hell of a trade. Now, both of these trades that I just brought up are going to cost the 76ers multiple draft picks because Ben Simmons' value is not going to be very high right now. So here comes in Kemba Walker. Mark and I discussed about this. What would it take for the 76ers to get Kemba Walker? Here's the reality. Sam always wants a throw-in. Always. It's just how he does things. He wants to make sure that he gets a throw-in. Same thing with Kemba. Trading Al Horford for Kemba and a first-round pick. I mean, that was something that Mark and I didn't even think was possible. So Mark and I raised our expectations of what we think Sam could get, and that's where we started right now. And I want to throw this back to Mark before we get started and the whole, you know, who would be switching hands and stuff like that. But this is a legit possibility because we have a connection with the GM. We have a connection with the coach. We've made trades with them that's worked for them before. So this makes sense that this could be something that we look at, Mark.
Yeah, you look at the type of players that they got from us. The Sixers did specifically this year, the Daryl Morey time period, right? We're talking about Danny Green, and what is he? He's a consistent shooter who has playoff experience that's reliable, even though he doesn't have like the best regular season games or times like over the past few years. People know that he's going to be reliable in the playoffs. Even though he had an inconsistent playoff last year with the Lakers, he still has a reputation of being somebody that you can rely on. So that's who they got. Who else did they get? They got George Hill, a shooter who is reliable, who has playoff experience. This is a pattern that they're looking for. And I think that when we looked at every team, we went through every team that has a top 15 point guard. And like you said, we really came down to really just very simply the potential of them maybe getting Chris Paul through a free agency. But it seems pretty unlikely when Chris Paul specifically asked to not be traded there because he didn't want to go to play for Daryl Morey again. So we can just cross that one off, right? Then you look at Kemba Walker being traded. I'm sorry, not Kemba Walker. Ben Simmons being traded for Damian Lillard. Okay, you take one of the elite shooters in the NBA and you trade him for somebody who can't shoot. The only reason they would be doing that is it would be, in a sense, a blow-up. They'd be blowing up that team. They'd say, we can't get it done with Damian Lillard, and we're going to go ahead and rebuild around Ben Simmons. Totally possible, but that would be the place they had to be in. It would be a complete blow-up, but they would think that they gave him a jump start into the future, and they'd probably be right. But they wouldn't be a playoff team, assuming, you know, certain factors that could entirely be wrong. I could be totally wrong. They could be a playoff team, so I don't want to get too carried away with that. The other one, Luka Doncic. A lot of rumors, speculation. They've kind of, you know, cleaned house now with Danny, whatever his name is, or Donnie Nelson being let go. Now Rick Carlisle's gone. Does Luka want to stay? Do they want to keep him if he's unhappy? I think both of those situations, you're talking about franchise players, right? And like you said, they're going to require additional picks. So that really brings it to, like you said, it's Kemba Walker that's available, and he's going to be the least expensive. And when you think about the idea of removing the pick protections from Kemba Walker, well, from the future first rounder that we got in the Danny Green trade, as really being the only thing to, you know, take those pick protections away from the 2025 pick that we have, and really knowing that Sam Presti's requested that from other teams as the main function in a trade as a throw-in, like with the Heat and different things like that, I totally could see him being willing to make that type of trade simply with that type of throw-in added. You know, is it really reasonable to think that the Sixers would have to throw in an add-on to trade us for Kemba Walker? No, not really in normal circumstances. But like Dave said, like his value is being driven down in the media. And honestly, it's really up to Daryl Morey to figure out how to bring back a different team that really is built around Joel Embiid. This is all about what they believe their window is. Do they believe their window is now? If it is, they need to figure out how to win now, and you have to be willing to make some tough decisions if your window is now. If they think their window is in 3 years, well, then you don't trade Ben Simmons. But if it's now, then you got to figure out a way to put him, put Joel Embiid in the best position to win. And the question is that Ben Simmons or not? I don't know. I have no idea. But I think that other things like we mentioned to each other before we got onto this podcast were possibly us adding in Kenny Hustle into the deal, and then them adding their first round pick to give us an additional pick in this upcoming draft, give them an additional proven shooter who could really help their team with defensive toughness, something akin to the PJ Tucker, Daryl Morey combination that we saw for years. And, you know, I've been saying that that Kenny Hustle is a lot like PJ Tucker for a while, so it wouldn't surprise me if Daryl Morey saw the similarities too. What we're going to be looking at is, you know, a blockbuster trade that really means that we could potentially have traded Al Horford for Ben Simmons. I mean, and if you think about, like, the reality of how we even got Al Horford, I mean, you want to go all the way back to the trade exemption that we traded for Enes Kanter, and we turned Enes Kanter into Carmelo Anthony, which we turned into Dennis Schroeder, which we turned into Danny Green, which we turned into Al Horford, which we turned into Kemba Walker, and now we're talking about turning him into an all-NBA player that, I mean, I think he's been second team a few times, I mean, and he's 24 years old. I mean, you turn a 32-year-old point guard into a 24-year-old all-NBA point guard. That's what we call Sam Presti magic.
Yeah, and at first, like I said, like, I rejected this idea, and I wanted to make that clear because I had to see if this would be something that I was even considering in the long run. The more I got into it, and again, what the media had been doing to Ben Simmons is awful. I guarantee you 76ers fans are going to be 10 times as worse. And on top of that, the 76ers media are going to be trashing Ben Simmons. When that happens, a player, it doesn't matter your caliber, doesn't want to play for the team. He makes it known that he doesn't want to play for the city anymore. His price goes down yet again. That's why we are saying that in order for this to happen, I would say the 76ers, you know, Sam Presti's on the phone with them saying, hey, listen, we'll trade you Kemba Walker, Ben Simmons straight up right now. And they're going to say no right off the bat. But in a little while, when his value is driven down a little bit more, they're going to come back to the table and they'll say, yes, we'll do this. And Sam Presti's like, well, that was his one-time offer. Let's go ahead and add a first rounder to this. Or let's go ahead and add Tyrese Maxey to this. I mean, that's the thing that Sam has been able to do throughout this time period is when teams say no to a deal, in order for them to come back to the table, he makes them offer something else or give them a sweetened offer because you had an opportunity to do that deal that I gave you, and that's not something that you wanted. I think that we saw that with the Boston deal. I think there was a deal on the table that Boston could have taken off at the trade deadline, or Sam took it off at the trade deadline, and he was made known that, hey, listen, if you're not willing to give me this extra thing, I'm not willing to make this deal. Sam ended up getting that extra thing, the 21 draft pick, first rounder. So again, that's what this is coming back to the table as. What is this going to take to get this done? And I really, really think that this is something that we could end up walking away with either an Oklahoma-owned guy and Shake Milton, who is somebody that I've been excited about for a while since I've had an opportunity to watch him play through the years. You know, we have one of our daily listeners that played basketball with Shake. He is always talking about Shake. To me, this is somebody that I have to circle, and I have to say that would be really exciting to get a player of his caliber. Again, he's 24 years old. He's in that right age group. And you're looking at Tyrese Maxey as 20 years old. He fits that age group, has a playoff experience. He reminds me a lot of SGA, getting that deep in the playoff experience his rookie year and then coming back and having another breakout year. I could seriously see that happening. Sam Presti does magic, and he takes nothing and he turns it into something so crazy that we couldn't even have thought it out. Yes, people that could have said, you know, the experts could have said, okay, Kemba Walker for Al Horford. Yeah, I could see that. But this is exactly what happened in Boston. Is Kemba Walker, the value got destroyed by the media. And, you know, I think Brad Stevens recognized that. It was, as time went on, it was going to continue to get destroyed by the media, and it was going to drive the price down. So that's why he acted, and acted quickly. I think that's why Sam acted quickly, getting that, switching places, getting the city, getting the media excited about Kemba Walker, going to Oklahoma City, reviving his career. So now you have taken Kemba Walker and you have taken his stock is going down, down, down. And all of a sudden you move him to Oklahoma City. Now his stock's going up, 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 right? And as is going up, 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 Ben Simmons is just tanking, all the way tanking. Guess what happens? That is the opportunity that Sam Presti has lived on. That's the opportunity that we could have to add Ben Simmons to this team. And Mark, even if we had to give up a first round draft pick for Ben Simmons, I would be okay with that. This is somebody that can alter our entire city. He's got a contract for 4 years. It's going to line up with everything that we have already. And by the time he's 28 and he's free agent, man, this team could have already had won a championship with him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, if we're going to talk about making a trade for Ben Simmons, we got to talk about the possibility of him even playing for this team. I don't think he would, because unlike Kemba Walker, I don't think you need to play any years off of Ben Simmons' contract to make him a tradable asset. I think as soon as you get Ben Simmons, teams will be offering you multiple first-round picks for Ben Simmons. He's too young, he's too gifted, he's an all-NBA player, and his defense is like on the perimeter. I don't know of anybody who plays better defense like in the NBA right now, or really anybody who's played like the style that he does since Scottie Pippen. He just overpowers people with his length and his intensity. And you know what? I feel like he's a hell of a player who's really lost his confidence. And I'd like to see him regain that. I'd like that to see that happen with us. But in the end, if there it can be a bidding war between teams in LA for Ben Simmons, that would be beautiful. I mean, the Lakers need a point guard. The Lakers need a player like Ben Simmons. I was telling you on our last episode, or maybe two episodes before, that I could not see any circumstances where the Lakers would feel like trading for Kemba Walker was enough to be worth doing, like putting all of their chips in. Like if Rob Pelinka came to Jenny Buss and LeBron and said, like, here's my move, we're going to get Kemba Walker and we're going to lose all of our flexibility. I told you I thought that they would laugh him out of the room. Now, here's the thing. If he did the same thing and said, my move is to bring in Ben Simmons, they all sit there and they say, that's good. That's all we need. You bring Ben Simmons along with LeBron, along with Anthony Davis. Like, I mean, shit, dude. They don't need him to shoot shots.
Yeah, man. And you're right. He would fit perfectly with LA. But here's the reality, man. And I got to say this, and I want to make this clear. If we had Ben Simmons on this team and we had our team, our coaches, our player development staff working with Ben Simmons in a shot, guess what's going to happen? He's going to find that shot. Not only find that shot, but he's going to be an elite player. He fits our age timeline. So when I say this in all due respect, is fuck LA. I want Ben Simmons on this team for the future. And I think with Ben Simmons, Shea, whoever we're able to pick up from this draft, we can not only make a playoff run every single year, but we could be talking about Western Conference Finals in this year or next year, or even in the championship game. I mean, that's the thing about this. Ben Simmons to this team, and he finds his shot, it's over. Ben Simmons will be one of the best players in the league. Everybody will always talk about how he couldn't find a shot in Philadelphia, but he moved to Oklahoma City, and there it is. And that's when we start attracting free agents as well, because we have an insane amount of money that is just available. And that's one thing, Mark, I have to say is if we get Ben Simmons, I don't think there's any chance that we trade him even for 4 or 5 draft picks, because now we have players that are designed for this team that's going to be with this team. If we were to trade Ben Simmons, it would be towards the end of his contract, and it was him saying, I want to go to Los Angeles Lakers, and it would be us trading him at 27 years old for his last year to go to LA. But that's the only time I would see us doing that, because he helps this team out right now. And everything else that we can add is just pieces that will be good for this team.
Dude, I could not disagree anymore at all. I think to 100%, like if we get Ben Simmons, dude, like obviously we approach this with Sam Presti Zen, where we say like we're content keeping, you know, Ben Simmons, and we would be. He would fit our team. It would make us better. And as long as everybody believes that we're okay with that, like we did with Chris Paul, then they're going to be willing to pay maximum dollar. But if you could create, like, let's say the Clippers don't win a championship, right? And, you know, they look at it and they're like, you know, we need a true point guard that can really, you know, help us out. And Ben Simmons could be that guy. And the Lakers are sitting there being like, yeah, Ben Simmons could be that guy. Could you imagine the bidding war that you could create? And I know the Lakers gave up...
With what draft picks, though?
Well, I know that the Lakers gave up quite a few picks to get Anthony Davis.
They got no picks for a while.
Well, they didn't when they made the trade, right? But eventually, you can only trade out 7 years in advance. So if you look at it, I think they would have one available pick that's pretty far out that they could give up. And then you could get a combination of veterans like that are tradable assets, you know, for first round picks also. But I mean, a single pick in the future isn't enough to get this done, obviously. I have to look at what's available for them, but the way you can only trade one pick every 2 years, even though it's been 2 years since they've made the trade, I'm thinking they can only trade away one pick coming up. I could be wrong, but there's also the situation where, you know, teams, you know, they pick a player and they immediately trade them over there. You can't make that type of deal too far in advance, but I'm sure, like, if it came down to it, Sam Presti could figure out a way to utilize that. And as far as the Clippers go, once again, like you're saying, what picks and obviously what incentive do we have to make the Clippers better if we get their picks coming up? So those are types of questions, but this is all about a bidding war. Somehow Sam Presti created a bidding war between the Raptors and the Clippers for Paul George, and we got the most for it. It's all about having two teams that want the same player. The key is that would happen with Ben Simmons. I don't see that happening at all with Kemba Walker.
And, you know, I think the biggest bidding war that could happen with Ben Simmons would be a team like the Pelicans, who own a shit ton of picks, of really nice picks, too. And they have some players that are coming up on a contract years as well. I could see them doing sign-in trades with us, picking up Ben Simmons to get their the Pelicans. But the reality is that means there would have to be another team out there that has the amount of draft picks that are, you know, wanting to push this forward like that. Here's the thing, man, and this goes back to it over and over again. You could trade Ben Simmons right now for a few draft picks for the future. You could create a bidding war for a few draft picks and get a sign and trade like Alonzo Ball or whoever. But like the reality is, if you hold on to Ben Simmons and you let him play out and find a shot over the next few years, you create a massive, massive, massive trade asset for the future of your organization in 3 years, exactly the time period that you're going to be looking at adding more draft picks after 2027. That is the thing I have to say about this, is that if we're going to be trading Ben Simmons, I know that you disagree and I'm cool with that, but I really, really hope that we would keep him to see if we could help his value out. Because the reality is that the worst comes to worst, we don't help his shot. He doesn't find a shot. His value is not going to tank. You know, it's just going to be money off the top of it. His value is not going to tank any further than it is already right now.
Well, you know what? I'll admit it, man. You talked me into it. Let's see what happens if we keep Ben Simmons, right? If we keep him, and obviously every year we're talking with the Lakers as a potential trade, and we're watching the value go up. A similar situation to what happened with Al Horford, where they had an offer at the trade deadline. They didn't take it, you know, and things progressed. I think that we wouldn't put Ben Simmons on the bench. I mean, Al Horford had already proven that what he's capable of. Ben Simmons has a lot left to prove, even though he's an all-NBA player, which is pretty fucking spectacular. But, like, let's think about that from a basketball perspective. Ben Simmons with SGA in that backcourt, I think it would give Simmons a really good opportunity to play a little bit more off the ball. He really does well with the ball in his hands, but you know, because he is an excellent passer and, you know, finisher and driver and all this. But the truth is, he's a very good slasher too. And when he plays off the ball, he cuts to the basket in ways. And when he gets ahead of steam, like, you just can't stop him. So I would say in so many ways, like, that he would do very well with having another point guard like SGA by his side. They could both take the ball up the court. They could really run in transition. He would add size, length, defensive intensity. Honestly, there's no way that you could add Ben Simmons to this team and not consider us a playoff team immediately. So that, I mean, all of that's very exciting if you go there. I mean, like Dave said, like, we've kind of debated this before we got on and started talking about this. Like, is there a possibility that another team could come in, another team that has a top-level point guard that could come in and solve the Sixers' problem? That's how we got here. If you've listened to any of other episodes about trading Al Horford, the way we bring up every single trade that we ever talk about in the past is, how can we solve another team's problems? We don't go in there saying, oh, we want this and this and this, how are we going to get that? Our number one goal is to solve other teams' problems, and we know that Sam Presti is the same way. Because if you solve another team's problems, then what they're going to give you back is great. Now, not every time, like some players like Chris Paul, he solved a lot of teams' problems, but then you have to make a few decisions and stuff like that. But if we did get Ben Simmons on the team and then we helped him as his contract got favorable and teams were willing to really bid up his value, we helped him go to where he wanted to go, it would be unbelievable. Like, every single player that we have traded in the past, and we've traded a lot of them, and we've traded some really great ones, but they've all been in their 30s. You know? I mean, I'm talking about, like, the all-NBA players, like, not Jeremy Grant's and stuff like that. But we haven't had one in their 20s. That's a different fucking ball game. I mean, I guess if you want to go back far enough, we did when we had James Harden. But since then, we haven't had one.
Man, I get excited about this because you look at the matchup that he would be forced to play in the West would be a small forward, even a power forward, depending on if we wanted to move Bazley over to the small forward position while he was playing defense. Again, Ben Simmons opens up so many things on defense because he's so good on the defensive aspect of the game. He loves the run and gun. So even putting him in on the power forward position, and he's 240 pounds, so he could do that with a 6'11 frame. He could play defense on the power forward, meaning getting the rebound and moving up the court, which he's the most deadly at, is exactly how he would fit in this team really, really well. We would get him shots that were thought out shots, that were plays that were designed to get him the ball where he wants to get the ball, because that's what Coach D does so well, is the play sets for these players. We would set him up in a really good position, get him confidence in that shot again. To me, this would be one of those aspects of adding a humongous player to our lineup, really for doing it for Al Horford, like Mark said. And you can go back further if you wanted to. This is what Sam Presti does. He takes, to me, it's like watching, there's this show I used to watch. It was these two guys in Maine, and what they do is they go out and they find something they like that's from a junkyard, and they clean it up and fix it up, and then they go start trading up pieces. They want to get a car, so they keep trading up, so they go from nothing to a car, right? So that's what I feel like Sam Presti has done. He has taken guys that are literally not in the NBA anymore, and he's traded them up, and he's gotten to this point now where he's taken Al Horford and got Kemba Walker, right? And now he's sitting at a position that we're even sitting here saying, maybe he had inside like idea of saying, I want to gamble right here, and saying, if the 76ers don't beat the Hawks, they're going to look for a quick fix, and maybe they'll be so desperate they'll look for Kemba. And then that's why I'll wait here and I'll hold Kemba right in front of their fucking noses until they say, hey, we want to do this. Because the reality is there's not enough other teams that are going to want to play ball unless 76ers add picks to that. And that's something that they don't even have to do with us if they threw in a Tyrese Maxey or a Shake Milton, or even as Isaiah Joe. Like, to me, like, these are the young players that they could throw in here so that they wouldn't even have to give us a draft pick, and saving that right there. But this is just one of those things that makes me really excited. That's why we spent 30 minutes or 25 minutes, whatever it is, talking about this, because this is something that is truly spectacular that Sam Presti could do with not even giving a pick in return. And if he did give a pick in return, it would be sitting at like 16 or 18 that he would be giving up. So that to me is something that would be really insane if we have that opportunity, Mark.
Yeah, I think if we could just leave Charles Barkley on TV talking about his shot for another 30 minutes, we could probably trade him straight up for anything, really. But hey, at this point, Kemba Walker, I think that would be a great fit. And I love the idea of putting a player at Simmons caliber on our team and seeing where that could take us. And, you know, let's do it, man. That fucking pumps me up. We had a different show planned. We were going to talk about Evan Mobley. Spoiler alert, we're not as in love with him as everybody else is. We'll talk about him coming up and why we think he's one of the biggest risks of the draft. This is a draft everybody thinks is full of sure things in the top five. They're just so sure of every one of them. But I'll tell you what, man, there are some players in the back half of the first round that play the same position as Mobley, And I think that they're going to be better than him. So I'm not sure exactly why everybody's in love with him, but we'll get into that a lot more coming up. But we really appreciate you taking the time to join us as we kind of just muse about the idea of maybe being able to trade Kemba Walker for Ben Simmons. I think the idea of trading Al Horford for Ben Simmons would have been pretty fucking hilarious since they were done with Al Horford in the Sixers. But now the idea of Kemba Walker, well, hey, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And that's why Sam Presti is here to be wheeling and dealing and taking us into the future like he's done over and over again. So we're pumped up about that. And we're glad that you take the time to join us on this journey. We're going to be back tomorrow. Hopefully, we're going to be talking about Evan Mobley, maybe Cade Cunningham, or maybe we're just going to keep on going and talking about whatever the fuck we want. The draft lottery is coming up in 2 days, in no time at all. We're going to find out, you know, what pick we're going to get, and then pretty fast, we're going to figure out how to trade it out of our hands and trade back, because that's what we do best. We are wheelers and dealers, and we can never stand pat. And we think for sure Sam Presti is planning on trading back. So we're going to keep going with that hunch. But once again, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. And we're going to be back tomorrow. And this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.